Hello and welcome to another Ars Blog Arscast on arsblog.com. In association, as always, with oleole.com, the football community website. Hope we find you well this Friday morning, or whenever you might happen to be listening to this. Coming up on this show, we have got a review of what happened last Sunday. I know. It's all right. Don't worry. We have to talk about it, though, don't we? We do. We have to talk about the Chelsea game and the consequences of the Chelsea game, as well as looking ahead to the Liverpool games. And who better to help us look ahead to the Liverpool games than the Mug Smasher? We have got a Scoustravaganza of football coming up next week and the week after. It's 3 games in 6 days against Liverpool. So the Mug Smasher will be here to give us his thoughts on the Champions League and the league. We will have a player history, of course. What else is here? Boué is here. We've got some talk shite radio and the usual other bits and bobs going on. So there's no avoiding it. There is just no avoiding it. We're going to have to go talk about Chelsea and what happened last Sunday. Now, we knew going into this game that 3 points was absolutely vital, considering we'd drawn the last 4 games and given what came before our game was the fact that Manchester United were playing Liverpool. Now, Manchester United beat Liverpool 3-0, which meant they went 6 points clear at the top of the table. That's some pressure. And unfortunately, things didn't go quite according to plan against Chelsea. We took the lead with a very smart goal by Bakary Sagna, who's really sort of up there in the top three, isn't he, of our players of the season in terms of consistency and the way he settled into the side. It was a great goal. Sadly, he got himself injured, and more news of that a little bit later on. He got himself injured, and we didn't really reorganise well. I thought Aboué went to right back, Diaby came on and played somewhere, and somebody went somewhere, and then someone went over there and went there. And it didn't work. Drogba scored 2 goals. First goal, you could argue, offside, couldn't you? Yes, you could, because he actually was. The main point that I made on the blog during the week was, of course, that John Terry performed in a very unsportsmanlike way. Now, not that we're surprised that John Terry would do that, are we? We're not, at all. Aboué put the ball out of play for some reason. It does irritate me, that one. Not particularly about Aboué, but just that rule in general, that unless the referee stops the play, don't put the ball out. And Arsene Wenger should be telling his players, don't ever put the ball out until the referee says, you know, blows his whistle and says, stop, put the ball out. We have to bring play back. Because it was only Joe Cole. I mean, even if Joe Cole was really, really injured, who gives a fuck? So we should have kept playing. But the convention is, of course, that Chelsea should have given us the ball back, either by a goal kick or kicked it back to the centre halves or to the goalkeeper. But no, John Terry put it out for a throw in near our corner flag, and they attacked that throw, and they didn't let us out, didn't let us have the ball easily. And from that spell of pressure, their first goal came. Now, this means, obviously, that, you know, John Terry is a big, huge fucking cunt. We knew this already. The second thing, of course, is that they were offside. The third thing is that in the air, we weren't very good at centre-half on Sunday. The first goal, Gallas missed the header completely. Now, I know there was a whole offside thing going on, but he missed that header. And then he got beaten in the air by Anelka for the second goal. Anelka flicked on. Kolo Touré tried to, I don't know what he was doing. I think he was doing an imitation of a starfish in the middle of the goal, and Drogba scored the winner there for Chelsea. So in the air, we weren't particularly good, and what struck me was the way that they stood off Drogba all game. They didn't challenge. They allowed Drogba to, you know, pretty much take the ball down and do what he wanted with it all the time. Now, Drogba's a big, powerful man. I realise that. And you know, he's strong, he's muscular, he can shield the ball well, he can get himself in a position where it's difficult for the centre-half to get there. That's fine. But once the centre-half challenges, you know, you're going to make life a little bit difficult for Drogba in return, aren't you? So, yeah, that was disappointing from my point of view. I thought we should have attacked Drogba, you know, possibly with bats and planks of wood with nails sticking out of them. But failing that, we should have at least made life difficult for him in the air. Arsene Wenger critical of the defence afterwards. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. But on the other hand, we weren't much of an attacking force. Robin van Persie still finding his feet, still finding his touch. Adi Bayor struggling, because I think all around him people are struggling as well. And I don't you know, I said on the blog, I don't believe he's falling for the hype or he's thinking he's Thierry Henry or thinking anything. I just think he's trying to get involved. And yes, he is drifting left. But I think that's more to do with trying to get on the ball or try and do something. We were effective earlier in the season when we put crosses in for Adebayor. So really, you know, the manager needs now to come and say, look, Adebayor, you stay in the middle. You guys actually just get some crosses into him instead of passing backwards and backwards and backwards and backwards and sideways and backwards and backwards and, you know. So it leaves us 6 points behind Manchester United, 2 points behind Chelsea. Now, it's obviously going to be a huge, tall order to get anywhere near the league this season. Having let the five-point gap go, it's now difficult to be 6 points behind. But it's not all over. Not all over. We've got to play United. Chelsea have to play United. Liverpool have to play Chelsea. So there's plenty of games. We, of course, have to play Liverpool. So there's plenty of football still left and plenty of time for things to turn around. However, as we spoke about last week with Amy a little bit, that possibly we're paying the price for having a squad that's just a little too thin. And a little too thin in areas where we would prefer it not to be. And that's wide on the midfield. We're struggling big time there. Boué is not the answer. Diaby is certainly not the answer. Hleb is not the answer in a wide position. Rosicki's always injured. So we're falling back into that old trap of everything coming into the middle. And therefore, we're not making any space, and it's easy for teams to defend against us, and we're not, you know, creating too many chances, etc., etc. So it's annoying a little bit, but it is a bad run of form, and as bad a run of form, I suppose, as we've really seen under Arsene Wenger. The only good thing, or the only positive thing, I will say, not the only positive thing, but one of the positive things, is that these spells of bad form don't tend to last too long. So I'd be confident that we can certainly turn it around this weekend against Bolton, and hopefully then take that and build on it and get some momentum between now and the end of the season. Pretty much everybody has said we need to win all 7 games if we want to have any chance of the league. I think that's absolutely true. Certainly 7 wins in 7 is not beyond Arsenal Football Club. It's not beyond this team either, but there seems to be just a little bit of a crisis of confidence going on. So it's whether they can get over that little mental block that's going on, or whether or not they perhaps now will think, well, the league's out of it, we'll concentrate on the Champions League. I know the manager has said we won't do that, but, you know, what the manager says and what the players do are sometimes very different things. So overall, I think the point we're trying to make here is that John Terry is a fucking cunt. And if anybody disagrees with that, speak now or forever hold your peace. I think that's fairly unanimous, don't you? There were also some stories about William Gallas this week, but we'll leave those for a little while and talk about them later, because I've been going on for too long now. Need this kind of interruption thing. This is all to do with your attention span, you see. If I keep talking and talking and talking, you're going to go to sleep. So to discuss the games coming up against Liverpool, the Mug Smashers, the nefarious Mug Smashers, is indeed the Mug Smasher. Hello, Mug Smasher.
Hello there.
It is an unprecedented occasion. 3 games against Liverpool in 6 days.
Yeah.
And as much as, you know, we're sick of the sight of you already, after 3 games in 6 days, we're really going to hate you. Or you're really going to hate us, one or the other.
A little bit of both, perhaps.
Perhaps indeed. Let me ask you, are you happy to be playing Arsenal at the moment? Would the Arsenal of a couple of months ago given you more worries?
Yeah, probably, considering Liverpool's form a couple of months ago. But the Champions League is a bit strange, really. We could be playing shite in the league, and we can go out and beat Inter Milan. So it's bizarre. It's really hard to call. I'd rather not be playing Arsenal at all, ever.
Who would you rather play?
Schalke. Yeah.
Fenerbahce?
Yeah, Fenerbahce are decent. Schalke have some players, but no, I'd rather play Schalke.
Okay, but you can't play them. You've got to play us.
Yeah.
Given the fact that, you know, as you say, Liverpool's form has been kind of shite, and then you go out and you beat Inter Milan, we could say the same about Arsenal a little bit, in the sense that, you know, we've been kind of shite, apart from that one game against AC Milan. Or the 2 games against AC Milan. Really, I thought we were very good in the first game, but particularly in the San Siro. Would you be a little afraid that Arsenal can turn it on in the Champions League?
Well, you have to turn it on at this stage, don't you? And if you can't, then you shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
yeah.
Wise words.
I'm just back from the States.
Yeah.
They taught me that. Yeah, I don't know. I think Liverpool might sneak in. I think we might progress.
Why?
Because we've been to more finals than you lately.
Right. But you've lost the same amount of finals that we have.
Lately.
Yes. Yeah. You've also won more than us lately. Yeah. But
five more than you.
Not lately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I still fancy Liverpool. I don't know. He has a way of beating teams in the Champions League. Teams that he can't beat in the Premier League, like Chelsea, for example. But I don't think it would be like the Chelsea games. I think there may be a little bit more football involved. But I don't know. I don't know. Where's Arsenal's head at the moment? It seems to be a little bit wobbly.
It's up its own arse, yeah. I believe. It's not good. But I suppose maybe with the league out of reach, we've got two teams here who see the Champions League as their only way of getting any silverware this season.
Yeah. The difference is that Liverpool have Everton breathing up their arses.
Yeah.
Excuse the pun.
Pun away.
Yeah. But, fuck it, I don't know. Mm. It's really difficult. I mean, I fancy us to lose the league game.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I think we'll get through. I don't know why. I have this feeling. We're going to make the final and we're probably going to win.
Last week on the Arsecast, Amy Lawrence said that really Arsenal only needed to win one game. And that was the league game. In the sense that we could draw, you know, a 0-0, let's say, in the first leg at Ashburton Grove. And then we could win the league game. And then a score draw away would see us through in that kind of fashion.
Well,
do you think it could be that kind of cagey? Or, you know, I mean, it's difficult to see one team beating the other team three times in a row. It's just not...
That won't happen. Arsenal will beat Liverpool in the league. And Liverpool will progress in the Champions League. And I'm not sure how. The same applies at what Amy said the other way around. A score draw on the Emirates and 0-0 in Anfield.
Yeah. Liverpool more than capable of that whole 0-0 stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. But who knows? Jesus, it's too hard.
It is.
But I do fancy for some reason. And everything's turned out nicely for me lately, so come on.
Oh, you think this is about you?
Yeah, it's all about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what else has turned out nicely for you?
Somebody crashed into my car.
That's generally not a good thing.
And the insurance is going to fix all the other things that were wrong with. It's brilliant.
Any insurance people listening, you know, just in case. No, nothing. There's no fraud going on here.
None whatsoever.
In terms of the Arsenal team, who have Liverpool got to pay most attention to?
Well, Fabregas, I'd imagine.
Hmm?
Yeah, a midfield battle. Mascherano's going to do his best to keep Fabregas quiet, but you know, you keep Fabregas quiet, and then there's other players who can do it. Kleb hasn't been playing well, but you know, he's capable of tearing teams apart when he wants to. Flamini is all action, non-stop midfielder.
He is that.
And sometimes when Fabregas is off the boil, Flamini steps up and with an assist or a screaming goal. Adebayor has gone off the boil a little bit, but you know, he's a quality forward. If Van Persie is if he gets his touch back, you know, he's so dangerous.
Yeah, well, he got some minutes in midweek for Holland, of course, which will just get him that little bit of match sharpness.
Yeah,
there was one time, wasn't there, in the Chelsea game we were watching that, and if Van Persie with his proper touch had been... Actually, there were a couple of occasions. There was that one shot, but there was that other one where we had that break on and he just pushed the ball too far ahead.
Yeah, his touch was a little bit off.
Mm.
But, yeah, I mean, he's still making the right moves and he's still fast and a quality player, so...
Mm.
He'll find his form at some point. He's a dangerous, dangerous player.
Yeah.
But you've quality all over the pitch, you know.
Apart from Eboué.
Yeah. He is a gobshite.
Yeah.
But no Sanya now. So I don't know who'll play right back.
Do you know something about Sanya that I don't? Because we haven't got any injury news on him yet.
No, really. I'm jumping to conclusions.
Well, I hope your conclusion is wrong, because I think we do need Sanya to come through those... three games well.
He is quality. Yeah. I think he's been one of your players of the season.
Absolutely. Mr. Solid, consistency. Yeah,
solid, dependable, gets forward. Eboué, even gives the ball to him now. He didn't earlier in the season.
No, he didn't like him, I don't think.
I think he was angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there you go.
Yeah.
And then I suppose, you know, we have, I don't know who you'd be worried about, Torres and Gerrard.
Torres and Gerrard, I suppose.
And not really anyone else.
Well, yeah. Well, Torres, because obviously he's a very good player and he's adapted to English football a lot, you know, quicker than anybody might have thought. And of course, he's in good form at the moment. Gerrard, because, you know, just he can score a goal from miles out or near in, or, you know.
Yeah.
But Crouch would worry me.
Yeah.
From the point of view that I'm sure Rafa Benitez won't have forgotten that at Anfield last season. Well, it was last season.
It was,
yeah. Crouch hat trick, and he just killed Toure and Gallus in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has to start.
Yeah, do you reckon he will, though?
Oh, he has to start. He has to start at the Emirates.
Yeah.
No question.
Hmm.
You saw how Gallus and Toure didn't deal with Drogba. Now, I know they're different animals, but, you know, Crouch has 4 inches on Drogba, or 5 inches.
In the inside leg, or are we...
In the tall bit,
yes.
So, yeah, he has to start.
All right.
Liverpool will win the Champions League. There you go.
There is a bold prediction.
Yeah. We'll beat Manchester United in the final.
Well, I have to say, if it was down to you and Manchester United in the final... I would really hope that it's, you know, it's a Liverpool win.
Yeah, of course.
And I hope this time if you push a wall down, it kills all of them.
Oh, stop.
Stop. I shouldn't say that.
No, that's awful.
Will we leave that in?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know your listeners better than me. I'd like to distance myself from that joke, though.
Yeah. It's a good job. You didn't laugh or anything. All right, well, that's it. Monk Smasher, of course, we won't be watching the first game together.
No.
Which will be unusual, you know, in a big game like this, because I won't be here next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will text you during the game.
Yeah.
At crucial moments.
I'm sure you will.
And I will probably, you know, well, I hope not to call you a cunt or use the word cunt at all.
You probably will.
Unless it's what an awesome cunt Cesc is.
Yeah.
That was a cunting, fantastic cunt of a goal by Van Persie.
Van Cunty.
Yeah. Or look at fucking Reina, the cunt.
Yeah, what's he doing on the floor? The big spastic.
Yeah.
No, he's a good keeper when he wants to be, and I think he wants to be next week.
I'm
going to sneak into your house to feed your pets, and I'm going to smash your fucking mug.
It's already leaking. It's broken again. So smash away. It will have no effect.
I might just smash your windows instead.
All right, then. I'd love to wish you good luck, but you know that I don't mean it.
Go fuck yourself.
All right, then. Mug Smasher, we'll talk to you on another Arsecast soon.
Okay, take care. Good luck, everyone. Except you Arsenal fans.
Bye-bye. That was the Mug Smasher. This is Talkshite Radio.
And that's why it's now legal to have a monkey driving your car. We'll have more traffic in an hour.
Welcome back to Talk Shite Radio, talking shite about sport 24 hours a day. Coming up a little bit later on, we have got Guillaume Balaguer in studio. He'll be giving you all the latest news and gossip from Spain, including those transfer rumours. You know the ones he claims to have such intimate knowledge of, but none of which ever come true. But you love them, don't you? You just lap it up. That'll be on a little bit later on after Matt Letizia's beauty tips. Now, though, we go to the phones. It's John in Dublin.
Hello there.
What's on your mind, John?
I just wanted to talk about, you know, in the Arsenal-Chelsea game when Arsenal put the ball out for a throw when a Chelsea player was supposedly lying injured, and then John Terry went and kicked it down into the corner flag. Oh, I think that was a bit out of order, you know. He should have given the ball back to the Arsenal keeper, and it was from that Chelsea scored, you know.
Well, John, you'd know you were from Dublin, you bog-trotting, whiskey-drinking, spud-eating Mick bastard. There's absolutely nothing wrong with what John Terry did. Arsenal didn't have to put the ball out, did they? Did Chelsea ask them to do it? No, they did not. And John Terry was perfectly entitled to put that ball right back in the corner flag. JT is a man of honour, a man of integrity, dignity. He would never do anything that would besmirch the game of football. What say you say? Taking the red card out of the referee's hand? He was helping him. It was was a heavy card. John Terry wanted to help the referee. What do you think about that, John?
Yeah, thank you. And John Terry are probably the two biggest cunts I've ever fucking heard in my life.
Can we not get some sort of a time delay on this? Get back to your own country, John. Coming up, Guillaume Balaguer, Matt Letizia, and, of course, Bradley Wright, Phillips Nightclubbing Tips. We'll be right back.
Talk Shite Radio. Talking shite about sport 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day.
More from Talk Shite Radio on another Arscast in the very near future, no doubt. Now, there's been lots of talk about William Gallas this week, the captain. He's a player that's divided opinions. Certainly, he's never been one of my favourites, but he's done a reasonable job this season. Certainly a lot better job than he did last season. He wasn't captain, of course, last season. But anyway, leaving that aside, there was the behaviour at the Birmingham game. Now, I thought it was a fairly much a dereliction of duty not to defend the penalty. But given the circumstances, you know, his sitting on the pitch crying thing, while nobody would say that was a great display of captaincy, I don't think anybody would say that. There were mitigating circumstances. We'd just seen Eduardo with his leg broken, last-minute penalty to cost us the points. Bakary Sagna's brother had died that week, etc., etc. So, you know, you've got to hold your hands up and say, look, players are human. These things will happen. It's not brilliant. You'd prefer it to be better, but there you go. There were some comments that people brought up about Theo Walcott, which I don't think really are too out of order. I think, you know, what he was saying about Theo was that he's got to work hard, which I think is reasonable. There was the incident then on Sunday before the Chelsea game where he was filmed giving a team talk on the Stamford Bridge pitch. Now, this a number of people suggested that some of the players weren't particularly impressed by it. There was a story in the newspapers that some of the players thought it was phony, and I looked at that clip and I thought, yeah, you know, some of the players just really aren't very impressed by this. Having thought about it a little bit more, I think some of the players looked uncomfortable because they knew that it was being filmed. They knew there was a camera there. They knew there was a microphone there, which is fairly unprecedented, you have to say. I don't think I have ever, in all the years I've been watching football on Sky, I don't think I've ever seen them get that close to a team during the warm-up and actually listen in on what it is that's being said. I don't think I've ever seen it. I think Gallas made a mistake, not so much in what he said. I mean, he's not the most eloquent of speakers. And what he said is probably no different, as good player pointed out on his side, to what he's been saying all season long. The mistake was to not take it indoors, to realise that the players weren't comfortable, to realise that he was putting himself in a position where if all things went wrong in the game, then he was open to this kind of ridicule. Now, I know Arsenal complained to Sky about this, and they're right to complain to Sky, I think, because, as I said, I've never seen it happen before. So you'd just like to think that a player of his experience really should have known better there. What I would say about Gallas' captaincy this season is that he does seem, at times, to have picked and chosen his games. He certainly wasn't interested in the Carling Cup game when we got beaten 5-1, and he wasn't interested in the FA Cup game at Old Trafford. And some people would posit that that game has been the cause, maybe, of a number of our problems. That since that game we lost such a great deal of momentum, we haven't been able to regain it. And as a captain, you can talk all you want, but you've got to show that you're up for it 100% of the time, 24/7. Not just because, okay, it might have been better for Arsenal to go out of the FA Cup, maybe. If that's what we were going to do, you think about it now, maybe it wasn't. But if that's a choice that's made, but, you know, you've got to give 100% in all the games. And the other players, professional and all as they are, if they see the captain doesn't really care about a game, then it transmits itself, I think. So while the criticism is probably a little bit over the top, there are justified criticisms of his captaincy. It's his first season at it, so maybe he'll be better next season. Arsene Wenger has come out in defence of him, saying that, the same captain that was, given all the praise when we were 5 points clear, is not so bad now that we're 6 points back. What he did point out, though, was that Gallas' performance on Sunday was not particularly good. And I'd say that will sting the pride of Gallas, and hopefully it'll turn things around. The questions remain for me over the Gallas-Toure partnership at the centre of defence. I think it was fairly harsh on Senderos to take him out of the team. I thought Gallas and Senderos were very solid, so they were. Even though there were some goals conceded, it might just be worth looking at again. And perhaps that might come at the expense of Kolo Touré, because we have bad news in the sense that Bakary Sagna is injured, which is bad. He injured an ankle against Chelsea on Sunday, and the news came today that he's going to be out for about 3 weeks, at least 3 weeks. Arsene Wenger says it is a big blow because he has been a revelation for us, a fantastic player. So the options, I suppose, to replace him at right back are Justin Hoyt, who hasn't really played an awful lot. There's Eboué.
Now it's time to be at home with Emmanuel Eboué. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to my home. I am Eboué. Eboué like medicine. Top three Eboué medicine. Number one. People say Eboué suck. It's true. When Eboué have sore throat, Eboué always take lozenges. Number two. Aspirin. Without aspirin, blood get like gravy and heart stop. Eboué don't like gravy heart. Number three Eboué medicine. Pills. Eboué love pills. Because one pill make Eboué larger.
And one pill make Eboué small.
And the one that Eboué mother give you don't do anything at all. Go ask Eboué. When he's 10 feet tall. You go now, man.
Tune in next week for more At Home with Eboué. Oh, baby.
Or, being a bit revolutionary here, you could bring Senderos back into the middle of defence with Gallas, and put Kolo Touré at right back. And to me, that is as strong a back four as we have at the moment. Clichy, Senderos, Gallas, Touré. That, to me, is a strong back four. Putting Eboué or Hoyt at right back, I think, weakens us considerably, given how good Sagna has been. And considering the importance of the games we've got coming up, yeah, I think that's something I'd really consider. To be honest, the danger is, of course, is that you've got, you know, your only three centre-halves on the pitch at the same time. If something goes wrong, then what are you going to do? I suppose you just, then you use Eboué or you use Hoyt in that position. But I think, given the quality of the opposition we've got coming up, so don't forget it's Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester United, right? You ask yourself, do you want Hoyt or do you want Eboué at right-back? I'm not sure I do. Not sure I do. Anyway, what about less talking from me and a player history? And then we can look ahead to the Bolton game. Yes, player history.
Guten Tag. This is Jens Lehmann. And this week I will be doing the player history. This is because I really don't have anything else to do at the moment. Of course, the man in the bar has allowed me to do this. And it is a very nice gesture. But this does not mean that we are friends. Today we are talking about a football player who used to play for Arsenal. This is why it is called the player history. In 2001, Arsene Wenger paid £8 million for Francis Jeffers. Of course, we know that the manager has a degree in economics. I suspect that he probably forgot all the economics he learned when he paid this much money for this footballer. In 3 years at the club, he spent many times injured and scored 4 goals. Then he left the club, and now he plays for somebody else. The end.
Another player history on the next Arsecast, whenever that might be. Yeah. I'll explain to you more in just a few moments' time. We have got Bolton on Saturday, and even though I seem to have said this line quite a lot recently, the 3 points are absolutely vital. No, we really need to win this fucking game. Come on. We haven't won since Blackburn, 2-0. And that was in February. We're now heading towards April. This is the last weekend of March. I mean, that's really shit. I'm depressed now, thinking about that. Bolton, of course, will be scrapping for their very lives right in the middle of the relegation fight. They are. They do have some decent players. I suppose you're better facing a Bolton without Anelka than a Bolton with Anelka. But then it might have been better to face a Chelsea without Anelka than a Chelsea with Anelka. You see what I mean? What a troublesome boy that Anelka has been. Obviously, we've got a decision to make in terms of the team. Who plays at right back? Would the boss be slightly worried about playing Eboué and Theo on the same side together? I know I would be. Justin Hoyt, as we said, he played in midweek for the reserve, so maybe he's in there with a chance. You know, frankly, I'd do whatever I could to keep Eboué out of the team. That's just me. Obviously, Arsene Wenger doesn't think that way. I think, obviously, Eboué's got some pictures of Arsene Wenger doing something that Arsene Wenger doesn't want anyone to see. He's, you know, probably reading Mad Magazine. Something not quite highbrow enough for him. But anyway, we should have Diaby back. Woo, Diaby. Hooray, Diaby. And hopefully, Robin van Persie can continue his rehabilitation and get going with some goals. I do fancy us to win this one. I just can't see us putting a worse run together than four draws and a defeat, considering who those four draws, indeed, were against. So hopefully we can kick the fuck out of Bolton. And you know, even though Sam Allardyce is not the manager anymore, it would be nice to stick one nail, at least, in Bolton's coffin this season. So, that's really about it, though, for this Arsecast. Not much else to tell you. Next week, there may or may not be an Arsecast, and I would say the probability of there being an Arsecast is about 2%, because I'm not going to be here. I'm going away on Sunday, and although I'll be able to keep up with the blog, producing an Arsecast while away from home isn't going to be terribly easy. So, maybe, I don't know, if I can bring my microphone, and maybe I can do something. But then again, I doubt it. Though anything's possible, you know, I wouldn't rule it out completely, but, you know, it's really, really, really unlikely. So there you go. I may try and put some thoughts together about the Liverpool game, and maybe I can get the old Mug Smasher on the phone or something, but, you know, I could also be in a bar somewhere, drinking beer or mojitos or something like that, you see. So I don't want to raise your expectations or anything. That's why I'm just saying, you know, maybe it'll be a big surprise, but there probably won't be an Arsecast. So until the next Arsecast, which is likely to be, you know, not next week, the week after, because next week I'm... All right, until the next Arsecast. Talk to you all next week on the blog. Take it easy. Bye-bye. That is exactly why Barack Obama is going to get the Hispanic lesbian hunchback vote. If you're driving through the city, Ventura Highway is absolutely bumper to bumper. We have reports of Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan down there having a minge off. So if you can find an alternative route, you do that. This is Radio Nova coming to you on 738 kilohertz AM and 102.7 FM in stereo. I'm Sandy Crack, and this is the All Request Show, playing the music you want to hear for the people you want to dedicate it to. Right now, for Colo Touré and William Gallas, this comes from all Arsenal fans. They say you'll understand why we're playing this for you. Van Halen, Jump on the Nova. That itch, huh? Yeah, I got a drink, I think. Can you imagine Britney Spears and fucking Lindsay Lohan having a minge off? Like putting two scorpions in a shoe.